Thought number one, by Adam Pearl. Here in Canada, whenever we talk about diversity, the conversation surrounding diversity is often restricted to race. Now, while race is an important part of diversity, it is not the only aspect of diversity. We often have to make sure that we include deafness, disability, homosexuality, transsexuality, and bisexuality as well. Diversity means everyone. Thought number two. For one to love fully and completely, one must be able to empathize, to open oneself up to many different kinds of people. Otherwise, one risks that love becoming a kind of shelter or a shield for one's prejudices, and it taints that love. Thought number three. Deafness and disability are often thought of as novelties, as gimmicks, and unfortunately are often treated as such in the theater, in film, and on television. But deafness and disability are multifarious subjects, as complex as love, death, war, anger, and any other subject that you can think of. Artists need to treat deafness and disability that way. We need to realize the artistic possibilities. Thought number four.
Adam!
Yes?
We advertised you as a deaf writer, you prick! Why'd you take the deaf off the sign?
Because, you twat, a writer is a writer is a writer.
But we need that for marketing and shit!
Stifle your labels, you malodorous beast. When you label me, you put me in a pen. My work is for everyone. Thought number five. Just because a piece of art is politically progressive doesn't mean that it's good. A politically charged play must balance aesthetics with politics. It must tell its story honestly, not didactically. If one wants to be merely political, one can hand out pamphlets or write manifestos instead of plays. Thought number six. It is imperative that deaf, hard of hearing, and disabled actors be given the chance to represent themselves on stage, on film, and on television. I understand that it's an attractive artistic challenge for hearing and able-bodied actors to play such roles, and that studios and producers want more well-known actors to fill such roles, but at the same time, if you're a director and you're striving for authenticity, well, how much more authentic can you get than having somebody who actually is deaf or hard of hearing or disabled? Thought number seven. As I've become more involved in the theater, I've noticed there's little overlap between the literary community and the theater community. I seldom see poets and novelists attend plays, and I don't often see playwrights at book launches or public readings. I find this situation strange. Have these artists become ensconced in echo chambers that reflect their own values back at them? Do they simply want more of what they're familiar with? Or do they want new work as long as it's within their chosen medium? Thought number eight. We're only beginning to realize the potential of using sign language on stage. Its animated nature and robust expressiveness lends itself naturally to the theater. It is perhaps the best language for expressing profound emotions, whether it's anger, love, frustration, jealousy, or outrage. We simply need to see more of it. Thought number nine. Just because one is deaf or disabled doesn't mean that one can't be sexy. Now, when I say sexy, I don't mean freaky or kinky or exotic. I mean attractive. If you carry yourself with strength and confidence, you are sexy. And after the act of lovemaking, you can look into each other's eyes and enjoy the connections that you've made, whether they're physical, intellectual, spiritual, or emotional. Sex is almost a form of art in that it gives you a glimpse into another person's world. And the deaf and disabled are part of that. Thought number 10. The key source of difficulty for deaf and disabled people is the way normalcy is conceived. Currently, normalcy is restrictive. It encourages exclusion and discrimination. But if we can reconceive normalcy as open and fluid rather than restrictive, then everyone becomes a part of normalcy. Everyone is welcome. Now, while such a reconception may be difficult, it is not impossible. We can certainly do better than we're doing now. Thought number 11. The world is a noisy place. Silence comes at a premium. Silence can often be quite discomforting for many people. The world is so noisy that people are often suspicious of silence. Silence is often understood to be the calm before the storm. But silence can be active. It's not necessarily synonymous with peace, or menace, or suspense. So much happens in a quiet room. The world moves, but we don't hear it. Sometimes the things we want to hear the most can't be shaped into sound. Thought number 12. After watching Niall DeMarco win Dancing with the Stars, one thought filled my head. If we use our imaginations, we can communicate anything to anyone. Through the language of dance, DeMarco communicated to the world the beauty of death experience. We live in a world where there are so many resources available to us. If we're not communicating, we're being either ignorant or lazy. Final thought. The theater can be an enormously influential vehicle for positive, progressive change. For me, it all starts with good storytelling. Begin with a good story and work your way outward. If you can smack people on the heart, if you can make their guts churn, if you can make them erupt with laughter, if you can make them collapse into tears, if you can open them up and show them a new world, then you can provoke them into positive action.